our final message here tonight. It is our privilege to have Brother Mike Bagwell, or Dr. Mike Bagwell, with us in camp meeting again. He is no stranger here in these shavings, and he has blessed our hearts many times. The Lord has used him to speak to us. I'm going to ask him to come around and carry out the service, preach to us. You come on, Brother Mike. It's good to have you with us tonight. Amen.
I just want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1, if you would tonight, please, that first psalm. I've got a simple thought that I'd like to share with you, particularly from those first three verses of Psalm 1. And preacher, I don't know if this is going to be called preaching, talking, teaching. I don't know what it's, how it's going to be categorized. But God gave me this about 3 or 4 days ago. Amen. With just the perfect peace. And he said, this is what I want to have on Wednesday night. Amen. And so I figure it's best just to follow him. Yes. And may God bless his word to our hearts. Here's the essence of the text. I will read it in a minute. Though I really don't need to read it. I mean, everybody knows it, quite familiar with it, may have even memorized it. And I don't even know I'm wording this right. The one thing you can do, and probably a dozen, but the one thing you can do that has God's promise, he will bless you, he will prosper you, he will keep his hand on you, fellas, for your entire ministry. Amen. For your entire ministry. That interests me no end. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, Brother Bagwell. It works this way. One thing you can do to guarantee, and I don't want to use this word lightly, it is used way too much in the wrong ways today. The one thing you can do to guarantee you success in your Christian life. That's where God has my heart this evening. Will y'all follow me as I try to share these verses of Scripture? I'm afraid if I read them all at once, somebody will turn me off. They'll say, I've heard that so many times. I don't see how there could be anything new or different there. And I'm not saying there will be anything new or different. I'm just saying it's what God told me to do tonight. I know this. It is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not supposed to do this. I don't know how many rules of hermeneutics I'm about to break. I think we're going to start with verse 3. I believe we're going to start with verse 3. I'd like to whet your appetite a little bit. And he shall be, and I realize the pronoun there, it is a masculine pronoun in Hebrew. But ladies, it involves you as well. Amen. It's talking about a follower of our Lord. And he shall be, and all these preachers know, that verb shall be, it can be expressed by the next few words. The verb can be built in to the main verb that follows, especially here, the pronoun. But here, the Holy Ghost has put it for emphasis. He shall be. Amen. Shall be. It's foolproof. You can't miss. You can't fail. He shall be. That verb is hayah. It is spelled H-A-Y-A-H, Haya. It is, preacher, it is the middle of God's name, Yahweh. It is the middle of the Hebrew word, Jehovah. It's almost as if God climbs into this verse. And God says, using the essence of his name, and he shall be. Shall be. I wonder what we can be. And he shall be like a bush. A sprig coming up out of the ground. No, preacher. Like a tree. Like a tree. Hebrew word is etz. Spelled E-T-S. Like a tree. Like a tree. And we're going to get some qualities of this tree. I'll tell you this. If I'm glad it didn't say tares. Could I get an amen? And as good as wheat is, an analogy, didn't say that. He shall be like a tree. There's some stability there. There's some strength there. Of course, I'm just beginning. We don't know what this activity is. And preacher, this activity will cost me something. It is not carte blanche. Come and get it. Amen. Everybody, I need an amen here. Salvation is free. Amen. The gift of God, the result, as we have so beautifully heard tonight, of his mercy. Amen. But this is not a gift. This is going to cost you something. It is if you're going to have his success, his best, his smile. And I believe with all my heart that's what we want tonight. That's what we're here for tonight. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Planted by the rivers of water. Let me tell you something. And please somebody smile, help me out. That tree didn't plant itself. Planted by the rivers of water. You ever think of the places a tree could be planted? Tree can be planted down in the swamp. Tree can be planted over yonder somewhere in the desert. Can be planted out there in some rocky subsoil. But here, planted by the rivers of water. That word planted, my lexicon says this. It can mean planted. I don't know if I'll hear an amen or not, but it often means transplanted. I want to go that route. God found me one day. I was out in the desert somewhere. I was as wild as I could be. I'd have never borne any fruit. I was absolutely good. He found me. He sent the Holy Ghost out there where I was. I remember when he started digging me up. It was hurting. It's cutting my roots. He's picking me up from the dry land over there from the desert. He's going to transplant me over. I need an amen. By the rivers of water. Hallelujah. But how do you guarantee that kind of transplanting? He shall be like a tree planted by the, somebody tell me, singular or plural? Plural. Rivers of water. Now, I don't know all that means, but it's got to mean something plural. Rivers of water. Debbie and I were driving back from a meeting up in Illinois. A few days ago, I wanted to record one of our evening meditations by the banks of the Ohio River. And I've got the Tennessee and the Mississippi and a number of the Ohio River. And it didn't work out. It's very, very dirty that day and a lot of trash in the Ohio. I'm not going to preach God's word around that kind of trash. I like a pretty background, and it just wasn't going to work. There near Paducah, Kentucky. You can look up and here comes the Tennessee River. And here comes the Ohio River. And they call it a confluence. It's when several rivers come together. I don't know. I'm not doing very well with it. by the rivers of water. I can think of two rivers right off. One's the good Holy Ghost of God. Hey, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, out of your belly there will flow rivers of the living water. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost there. But I think there's another river that is described in this old book right here. Paul said we are clean through the washing of water by the word of the Almighty. Can I do this and not by? I believe the word of God's a pretty good river to swim in. By the rivers of water. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Everywhere we go, and we go good places, we're moaning and we're groaning and we're grieved because we're not seeing the fruit we want to see. We're not seeing the fruit we used to see. But oh my, and I don't know all it means, but I got a promise right here. If I'll figure out what this is and if I'll do it, I will bring forth fruit in my season. How many of y'all believe the word of God means what it says tonight? Bring forth. I made sure it would be one of the reaping and sowing verbs. Listen to it. Natan. It's N-A-T-H-A-N. That's the word Nathan. It's a name that came from Hebrew. But it means to give. To give. If I can get this thing down. I need to get to it. But if I can get this thing down. God promises me I can give fruit, bring forth fruit, Natan, everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. It's not the kind of fruit I've got to grunt and groan to produce it. It's not the kind of fruit it will just bloom out. It'll just overflow. Bring it forth his fruit. Listen to this. In his season. Isn't that what it says? Let me look. In his season. Wonder what that means, preacher. The word that is used there for season. And again, it's another one of those words. Obviously, it's a time word. In his season. In our King James Bible, it says that three times it says this. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. I hope I get three amens. He'll bring forth his fruit all the time. Amen. All the time. Everywhere you go, everything you do, you will bring forth your fruit in your season. Amen. Does that interest anybody here tonight? Is the word of God, is the Holy Ghost making a case? If all these good things can happen to me, if I will obey this little three-verse trio. Oh, wait a minute. I'm still in verse 3. His leaf shall not wither. His leaf shall not wither. Let's talk about good trees have leaves. Everybody, I learned something about leaves the other day and I did not know. We as human beings, we breathe in carbon dioxide, and then I think I got something wrong right there. I think I just killed every one of us in the building. We breathe in oxygen. Well, I'm glad you preached on mercy. I needed a little right there. We breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. You know what those leaves do? Those trees? They do the opposite. They breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe. What I'm breathing out, they're breathing in. What they're breathing out, I'm breathing in. You know what those leaves are doing? They're cleaning up the world around them. They're cleaning up the atmosphere around them. They're making this a better place to live, glory to God. Wouldn't you like to live that kind of life and have that kind of ministry for God? And it'll never wither. It'll never wither. I just saw this in Revelation chapter 14 and 15. They're sort of twin chapters. Here are a multitude of martyrs from the great tribulation. Brother Steve, they've been beheaded, killed by the Antichrist and his crowd. And here's what the Holy Ghost says about them. Here they are in heaven now, Brother Mike, and it says, and they overcame. And they overcame the enemy. And they overcame the Antichrist. And they overcame the beast. Well, that threw me for, I couldn't. They overcame, he killed them. They overcame, he tortured them. They overcame, God looks at them as overcomers, and yet they went down. And then it dawned on me, here is the Holy Ghost definition of overcoming. Here's the Holy Ghost definition, the verb is nakeo. It means to win the victory. Amen. Let me tell you. Doesn't matter if they were beheaded or not. Doesn't matter how much they were tortured or not. Three words, I need an amen. They were faithful unto death. Amen. That's all I got to be, and I'll be an overcomer. Well, what if they kill you? I guess that doesn't matter as much to God if I can be faithful to the end. I want to have the kind of leaf, I need an amen, that will not wither. Hallelujah. And whatsoever he doeth, somebody give me that word, shall what? I'm going to say something. I don't want to be divisive in any way. My name is not Joel Osteen. I'm not talking about a prosperity like they present. This is God's definition of prosperity. I don't know but what you could be in ICU in the hospital and have God's prosperity all over you. I don't know but what you could be on your way to the bank having to make a loan so you don't lose. And God's prosperity is different than man's prosperity. Definitely. And whatever he does will prosper. Watch this word prosper. It's beautiful. Just wash my hands and I'm going to ball up my fist. This is what the word prosper means. Boom. Y'all didn't see it. Boom. It literally means to explode. To explode with spiritual fruit and spirit. Man. You mean everything, huh? You mean I'll always bear fruit? You mean my leaf will never wither up and dry, that I'll be faithful today? A promise of God from heaven on high. I got to ask it again. You're listening so well. Does that interest anybody tonight? Oh, man. I think it's time to go to verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. We're getting into the heart of it now. Some of you are going to feel a letdown. Please don't. Hang on. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm going to make a statement and see if I hear an amen. The law of the Lord, technically it's the Pentateuch, but the law of the Lord in godly terminology, well, that's that whole book I'm holding in my hand. Amen. His delight will be in the law of the Lord. A feminist, radical feminist, recently said, if we're going to prevail, God being a man, that's got to go. And God's son being a savior, They're down on patriarchy. In fact, she said this, that book has got to go. It is irredeemable. That book cannot be altered to produce the God, goddess we'd like to have. They want to jettison it. They want to get rid of it. You know what I think? I think we might ought to get busy delighting in it. I wanted to be sure I had it right. Chaffetz, that's the Hebrew word for delight. Listen to it, if you will. 16 times in our King James Bible, it is translated pleasure. His delight. I've got his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now I'm going to need an amen. If his pleasure is in the law of the Lord. And then from pleasure, 12 times, his desire is in the law of the Lord. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all believe this? Sure wouldn't be in Taylorsville if you did. His desire is in the law of the Lord. I want to tell a real quick story, illustration. Maybe I can do it in 2 minutes. Matthew Henry, how many of you have ever heard of him? Oh my, we use him. I know he's dead, long dead, but we still use him. He'll give you some pithy thoughts and some. Matthew Henry, pastored a church, married man, raised a family, a godly family, and yet on the side, can you put it that way? Wrote that what was originally 6-volume commentary from Genesis to Revelation. Somebody asked him one day, "Mr. Preacher, you're pastoring a church, what a job. If you do it right, it takes on. And you're a husband and you're a daddy and all the other things. And you still took time to write that massive commentary, Genesis to Revelation." And this is what he said. Hope you get it. That wasn't Matthew Henry there. I'll tell my own story, Matthew. He said, "I couldn't think of anything else, hope I get an amen, that I'd rather do."
Amen.
At night when I had my 30 minutes to myself, I just wanted to get in the Bible. In the morning when I got up before the kids and breakfast, I just want to spend a little time in the Bible. Are y'all getting it? His delight is in the law of the Lord. One time, and I've got to speed up. One time, that word shepherds for delight is translated willingly. Isn't that odd? How many of you believe our King James translators were mighty wise men? Amen. Believe God's hand was upon them. Willingly. They willingly delighted, studied the law of the Lord. There is something about this book. Young preachers, hear me. There's something about this book. Men, you're in mid-ministry and God's already blessed. There's something about this book. If I can learn to delight in it, if I can learn to love it and take pleasure, God will make me like a tree by the rivers of water. He'll transplant me there. I'll never go dry. I'll never lack for fruit. And everything I do, am I in the Bible? Everything I do will prosper. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I want to talk about that word, law of the Lord. The word there for law is Torah. T-O-R-A-H. Torah. Very common Hebrew word. The law of the Lord. Torah, it actually comes from a Hebrew word that means to teach, the teachings of the law of God. And of all the things that, I'll just use this. The law of the Lord. We're talking about the Word of God, learning the Word of God. It means this, to hurl. You say, preacher, that ain't making a lick of sense to me. If we've got our Bibles open and the Holy Ghost is here, and I believe he is, do you know what he's doing while I'm teaching, while I'm preaching? He's taking the little nugget and he's just hurling it. Amen. That landed in his lap and he didn't move. Curtis, he's handing one your way. That didn't quite get there. You know what I'm praying tonight? I'm praying the Holy Ghost will hurl something back your way and hurl something back your way, something you can't get loose from, something in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hurl, Holy Ghost, hurl, all I know to say. The law of the Lord. And then that word Lord, the law of Torah, the old rabbis say it means this. Now, this is not going to make any sense at first. Drip. Drip, drip, like honey from the honeycomb. How that man of God was exalting the mercy of God tonight. Debbie and I sitting there on that front row and something dripped on me. I thought, it ain't a raining, and this tabernacle don't lay. And I stuck out my tongue and I tasted it, and it was plum sweet to my taste. I wonder what that was. It's the law of the Lord. It's the word of an almighty God. Oh, God, help me to learn to delight in your word. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Verse number, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he. Don't give me the word. I like it when you say. Say it one more time. Doth he meditate day and night. I got to love it. I got to crave it. I got to want to get into it. I got to be willing. And then I got to meditate therein day and night. Let me give you the word meditate. It's an interesting little verb. H-A-G-A-H. Hagah. Hagah. Meditate. Preacher, what does it mean? And this is going to surprise you. That word meditate, Hagah, six times. In our King James Bible, it means this, and we're going to have to figure it out, to mutter. M-U-T-T-E-R, to mutter. Preacher. That means to say something low under your breath. To meditate therein day and night. Let me apply that, and I want to give another definition real quick. To meditate that. In the morning when you get up, you get you a verse. Hey, go back to Micah chapter 7. Get some of that mercy juice. Get in that jar of honey. And in the morning, you just start hagahing it. You just start meditating about it. You just start mumbling. You just start uttering. You're around all day. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. I cannot, Curtis, do you see what I'm saying? The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Or Jesus said, I like this one. See if anybody, and the Lord said, I will build my church. I will build my church. You think about that a little while. You'll get some encouragement. You'll get some going around muttering under your breath the word of God. Now, preacher, there's no need to get fanatical. You're going to have us doing this all the time. Wait till we get to the last two words of this verse. Oh, my. Meditate therein. I want you to see something. I just torment. See that word right there? Uh-huh. Two times. Yeah. Right there. Yeah. It's the word imagine. You imagine. You're back there that night. Nebuchadnezzar had that dream. He didn't know what he had dreamed. His soothsayers couldn't come up with it. But God had a man on the scene who had a wise spirit within him. I needed, and his name was Daniel. I'm there. I'm imagining it. I'm meditating on it. And old Daniel said, I ain't too smart, but I got a God who knows it all. Hallelujah. And he said, I believe you had a dream of a statue. Said, I believe the head was gold. I believe the arms. Meditate. Get in that thing. Live that thing. Enjoy that thing. You're delighting in the Word of God. You're meditating in the Word of God. And God will bless the daylights out of you if you learned it. He will meditate therein day and night. I guess when you go to bed, when you wake up, Deuteronomy 6, there are four times we're to talk about it. When you get up, when you go to bed, when you're traveling, by the way, when you're sitting in your house, I think any time's a good time to talk about the Word of God. I probably didn't go about this the right way. This first verse is going to be anticlimactic. Hey, is this message for everybody? Probably not. Is everybody going to be astounded? No. Some of you done had two naps while I'm preaching. You think I can't see, but I can see from up here. But somewhere there's a young preacher boy. Somewhere there's a pastor wanting to go a little further, get to know him a little better. And that word delight's going to get a hold of him, getting excited, getting pleasure out of the word. In my book, one of the greatest pastors America's ever seen is old Dr. W.A. Criswell. Pastored the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas for literally decades. You say, well, I don't like what he did about that or what he did. And all I nearly went on. I don't care if you like it or not. He loved the Word of God. He preached the Word of God. Some of you are mad now. He magnified the Word of the... This is what he told his deacons. He said, I'll marry you young. I'll bury you dead. I'll come see you sick in the hospital, and I'll do my best in all of those jobs. But I'm going to ask something. I'm going to ask something of you. Would you give me the mornings in my study along with my Bible in the Word of God? He said, I promise you every day at noon I'll get in my car and I'll go and I'll work and I'll pass. If you'll give me the mornings. He spent every morning until noon in the book. That man, he had his devotions out of the Greek New Testament. He was an absolute scholar. And when he stepped into that pulpit, I got to be mindful of the time, and I know that. I know you. Some of you probably are cold, but it's getting real comfortable up here now. I was shaking when I got up here, but I'm warming up. Hallelujah. Dr. Criswell went in his pulpit, and he announced, next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach from Genesis 1:1. And he said, I'm going to preach as many verses as I can. And he said, Sunday night, I'm going to take up right where I left off. And he said, if God will be my helper the next Sunday and the next Sunday. And he said, God willing, listen to this, James, I'm going to preach through the whole Bible. I'm going to preach through the whole Bible, Dr. Criswell said. Oh, my. Some of the deacons were excited. Some of them got uneasy. They said, preacher, now that's going to do well in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what are you going to do when you get in Chronicles? What are you going to do when you get in some of those obscure? He just said, I'm just going to take as much scripture till God gives me a sermon, and I'm going to try to preach it for His honor and His glory. Are y'all following me? I don't want to lose you. That sounds a little bit like delighting in the Word of God. What do y'all think? Amen. Let me tell you the rest of the story. 18 years and 6 months after he preached Genesis 1:1, 18 years and 6 months. He went to his pulpit, I need some amen, and he preached Revelation 22:21. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He preached all the way through the Bible. And you know what happened? The more he honored God's word, the more that church grew, the more God blessed. You don't talk money, and I don't, but to the glory of God. They were paying their bills. They were getting by finance. By the time he got to Revelation 22, 21, they had to back a Brinks armored car up to the office at the church door to safely carry their offerings to the bank there in Dallas, Texas. I just believe God blesses it when you honor and uplift and delight in his word. Hallelujah. Day and night. Here it is, and I'm going to quickly look at verse number one. You're going to have to figure it out. Probably might work a little different from everybody here. Delight and meditate. It wouldn't hurt us to get in this altar tonight, root around in these shavings. God, give me a deeper delight than I've ever had. Teach me a little more about how God, meditating, imagining, chewing the cud of your word. Because I promise you this, the deeper you go and the longer you stay and the more you enjoy it, the more God will bless you and the more God will honor you and the more God will expand your ministry. Does anybody in this building believe that? I heard a man say this. I'll have to cover verse 1 very quickly. Ought to be kicked. It ought to have more emphasis than I'm going to be able to get. He said, if you'll take care of the depth, God will take care of the breadth. See, we're always worried about the breadth. And we ought to be. We want to win souls. We want our church. If you'll take care of the depth, God will take care of the breath. I believe I see that illustrated in get in that book. Get deep in that book. Immerse yourself in that book. Love that book. Imbibe that book. And I promise you, say, well, what does that mean? He'll tell you. Don't you worry about what it means. What does it mean my leaf won't wither? Don't you worry about what it means. What does that mean? I'll prosper. Don't you worry. You just get in the book. You just do your part. You just delight in it. You just meditate. Let him worry about what prospering means and leaves not. And I'll guarantee you, he'll do more than keep his word. Hallelujah. Did I say there's a catch to this whole thing? Verse 1. The word there for blessed or blessed. By the way, 27 times in our Bible it's blessed and 14 times it's happy. Happy. Blessed is the man. And then somebody look at the verse. I don't even have it open right now. Do you see the word not in there anywhere? I hate to bring this up. That sounds a little negative. Verse 1. We like the positive. He'll bless you. He'll bless me. He'll enlarge our coast. He'll bless us into, but not. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Are y'all with me? Or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Brother Jamie, I was astounded as I looked at this. All three of those verbs are Hebrew perfect verbs. Let me give you the significance. It's a one-time thing. He's not saying, now don't you walk. Don't you dare. You keep yourself separated. Don't let it happen. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Point action. Do not stand in the way of sinners. Do not sit in the seat of the... If I'm going to love that book, will I get an amen? I'm going to have to stay separated from sin. My Aunt Myrty Jones gave me my first Bible. It was an old-timey Scofield reference Bible, little old 33X. It's just a little print. She wrote in the front of it, and everybody's heard it, "This book will keep you from sin." Y'all heard it, hadn't you? "Or sin will keep you from this book." Preacher, that's true. If I delight in that book, it'll keep me from sin. If I delight in sin, it will keep me from God's precious book. Let me show you one more thing, and then I'm just going to close. Blessed is the man. All right. From right here, this box of tissue, to right there at the edge of the platform. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walketh. I don't know how many seconds that took. I'm going to say three. Y'all got it? Walketh. Don't walk. 3 seconds. In the counsel of the ungodly. Now listen to the next verb. Don't stand. Don't stand in the way of sin. Which takes more time? Walking? Don't do that. That's 3 seconds. Standing? You got trouble. Don't stand in the way of sinners. We're not talking about a 3-second mistake now. You could stand there for way, way too long. Yes, sir. Are y'all seeing it? Walk is quicker. Stand is bad, but it's not as bad as the third one. Don't sit. Boom. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. If I had time, and I'm not going to take it, we'd talk about that word that is used for scornful. We'd talk about that word for sinner. We'd talk about that word that is essentially the word for wicked. To the degree I can stay away from sin. To the degree, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That word counsel is advice. Can I make an announcement? Be careful where you get your advice. Oh, that was a good amen, but be careful where you get your advice. Be careful where you get your preaching. Might I say that today? Preaching is advice. Be careful where you get it. Amen. I'm going to have to learn to say no, no, no before I'll ever develop a love and a delight and a desire for that book. But if I can ever get that to kick in, God will take care of the rest. Amen. As sure as I am standing here. I was going to do it, but I'm not. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Y'all know it. 1 Peter 2, 1. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow by epipotheo. That verb desire, crave it. You got to have it. You can't live without it. Amen. But before verse 2 is verse 1, there's some things you got to lay aside. There's some things you got to do away with. If you'll say amen, Jordan's going to play and I'm done. There's some things I got to go if I'm going to love that book like I ought to. Could we stand together with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed?